You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. Or did I talk to the time pilot?
Someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil. There's no place for ghost stories in this investigation or any other.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
Let's hang out.
Let's hang out.
And let's talk about what lesbians have found.
Let's hang out.
And let's listen to two lesbians shout.
Let's hang out.
Let's hang out.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Let's Hang Out. I'm Ellie Brigida.
And I'm Lee Holmes Foster, and here's what's happening this week.
This week in the Lesdom.
This Week in the Lesdom is a place where we can touch base each episode about things going on with the podcast or otherwise. And we want to remind you all that we have our first ever live concert of the flame on September 15th at 54 Below, starting at 7 p.m. It's going to be in New York City. You can get your tickets at bit.ly/theflame54 if you're in New York City. And if you're not in New York City, because we know a lot of you are all over the place, you can also get tickets to our live stream at bit.ly/theflame54stream. We would love to see you all there. We have an incredible cast, including Tony, nominee, Jen freaking Kalela, JJ Neiman, Tiffany Francis, Jamari Williams, me.
The real star.
Lee. Valerie, it's going to be
Mackenzie. We got a
insane.
Great cast. Yeah.
So we can't wait to see you there.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We also want to remind you all that we have bonus Patreon-only episodes coming out this season. We released our first one. We did a whole breakdown on Kissing Jessica Stein. That came out last month. And coming up soon, we are going to have our second bonus episode coming out. It's going to be on the incredibly true adventures of two girls in love. So if you want to hear all of our thoughts on this movie, you can join our Patreon at bit.ly/lespatreon.
Cannot wait for you to hear that one. We really loved that movie. It was so fun. And so gay. Because, of course, in the greater Les universe, the adult Van has been cast for Yellow Jacket. So we're super excited to see where that takes us in the next season.
Hey,
knowing
it
that
at least means Van's alive. So that's exciting.
Very exciting. I'm pretty sure she's going to be batshit crazy, but can't wait.
Well, who is it?
Yeah, it's Yellow Jackets.
Who isn't in Yellow Jackets? Listen. So in other exciting news, I think a bunch of you may have seen on Instagram that Jenna Malone came out recently. So listen, as a teen of the aughts, this just really warms my little teenage heart. Also, that she came out in what I think is like the best way ever, like via interpretive dance posted to her Instagram with this whole caption about feeling like she had felt like a heterosexual man in a woman's body and, you know, that her sexual identity has more to teach her and just exploring the world and herself and her place in it. And it's just, I mean, listen, like, what a way to come out. So
I love it.
Living your best gay life, Jenna. We're happy for you.
Also, for any of you Riverdale fans out there, Lily Reinhart has said that she is going to be in a new LGBTQ plus period piece. you know how I feel about period pieces, but I also love Lili Reinhart. So like, we'll see where I land on that. I'm sure I'll watch it.
I'm sure we'll watch it. Ellie, you know we're going to
have to. I will definitely watch it.
I know. We're not going to. Listen, with the amount of cancellations lately, we're not going to complain about like any new gay stuff out there. So
give it
to us. What's happening this week. Back to you, Ellie and Lee.
Thanks, Ellie and Lee, and welcome to our 89th installment of Should Have Been Gay.
Oh, it was fun, it was great, but it should have been a little more gay.
And in this week's episode, Ellie, come quick, they've gone wild. The girls have gone wild.
There honestly were so many options for this. I thought you were going to burst so into Jingle Bell Rock.
I mean, I thought about it, but then we'd have to do the whole song, and then it's going to take up a lot of the episode. And then, it should be awkward for skipping, everyone.
We'd have to slap our thighs. Like, it's just a lot. It's a lot.
I'm ready.
So excited. We are talking about Mean Girls today. Like, this is going to be a big one for all of us. And we are joined by a very, very special guest, Mary Holland. Thank you, Mary, for hanging out with us.
Thank you for having me. Hi.
For anyone who is not familiar with Mary, we're going to read your whole bio because it's exciting.
I would love it. I would love it.
Mary is a writer and an actress who can most recently be seen in the Netflix film Senior Year opposite Rebel Wilson and the miniseries The Woman in the House, although they didn't even write the full name out, and I'm still going to say because it's The Woman in the House across the street from The Girl in the Window.
Yeah.
Is that, that's right?
That's right. Yeah, you nailed it.
Opposite Kristen Bell. Mary's also the co-writer and co-star of the Hulu film Happiest Season, which some of our listeners might be familiar with for no reason at all, and which broke streaming records for Hulu upon its release at the end of 2020.
Woo!
Mary, what a joy to have you here.
Oh, it's a joy to be here. Hello.
We are so excited. Huge fans of you and all of your
thank
work.
Thank you.
I also actually saw Senior Year like the week it came out.
Oh, you Netflix, did?
And I actually really loved you in it. Yeah.
Oh, good.
And you play a queer character.
I do. Yes. Yes. That's
we
true.
We see it.
Yes. We love to see it. That's right.
And Jane is one of our favorite characters in Happiest Season.
Oh, thank like you.
Hashtag justice for Jane still.
Oh,
always.
Thank you.
Hands down. Hands down.
What's going to happen with that painting? Everybody wants to know.
It's the sequel that no one wants to give us yet. What is going on?
I know. I know.
I would definitely pay for a sequel that's only Jane. Like, that's it. We're here. But today we are here to talk about Mean Girls. So
that's right.
Let's dive in. Lee,
God
hit us
help
with
us.
Our IMDb synopsis. Let's go.
Okay, listen. I know that we do this for a lot of movies, and we always read the synopsis in case like anyone hasn't seen the movie or something. But like, if you haven't seen Mean Girls, I don't know what to do for you at this point. Seek help. Go see the movie. The IMDb synopsis for Mean Girls is as follows. Katie Heron is a hit with the plastics, the A-list girl clique at her new school, until she makes the mistake of falling for Aaron Samuels, the ex-boyfriend of alpha plastic Regina George.
All right.
Wow. Okay. That's it.
That's synopsis.
What happens in that movie.
Is it what happens in that movie?
You know, it feels like a pretty thin encompassing of what that movie's themes are.
Well, if you had to rewrite a gay synopsis for Mean Girls, why don't we do our gay synopses? Do you want to do yours first, Mary?
I'd be thrilled. Okay. Having spent her whole life being homeschooled, openly gay teenager Katie Heron falls in love with fellow high school student Janice Ian, and the two set out on a quest to infiltrate the popular girl clique and stop them from bullying the shit out of everyone.
Yes.
Yes. Incredible.
Honestly, right? Perfect.
Incredible.
Perfect. Mine is,
Ellie, what about you?
Mine is similar.
Okay. Oh, good.
Mine is about baby gay Katie. So in this synopsis, Katie's like newly gay. You know?
Oh, great. Okay.
Baby gay Katie goes to high school for the first time and is taken in by the coolest gays you will ever meet, Janice Ian and Damien. That's
yes. Love
no
it.
Need for the plastics, just the coolest.
Oh, game. I love it. I want to see that movie.
Here's what's fascinating to me. I feel like apparently I'm the only one who went in a slightly different direction with my synopsis.
Gretchen?
So
Gretchen!
My gay synopsis. No, it's better than that. My gay synopsis for Mean Girls is as follows. Repressed lesbian Regina George might have a cool mom, but she's clearly still not ready to come out, despite having two side chicks and a big old lesbian crush on the new kid at school. Stuck in the closet, Regina lashes out at both those closest to her and any other high school outcasts who get in her way while fighting her way to redemption, question mark, in this queer coming of age tale.
And is question mark spelled out?
Yes.
Okay, good, good, good. Good, good, good. Because you want people to say that out
loud. Literally, it's a parenthetical in my notes.
Oh,
parentheses,
my
question mark.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why we've been waiting so long for Mean Girls, because I think you can make a very convincing case for every single character in this film.
We might be here for the next 3 hours is the problem.
Yes.
Mary, what do you got going on tonight? You got time?
I've got nothing but time. Listen, I don't need to eat dinner. I am here.
Four hours later.
Yeah.
We wake up tomorrow morning
still talking about it. I've fallen asleep. But I'm still having the conversation in my sleep.
Sleep talking about
it. Sure.
Oh, God. Yeah, this movie is... Oh, my God. I cannot wait to talk about this. So let's talk a little bit. Because Mean Girls is so iconic.
I feel like
everyone has their own personal experience with Mean Girls.
Right.
Mary, what was your experience with watching this movie?
I saw it in theaters and I really loved it. I thought it was like so, it was like a high school movie I hadn't seen before. It felt really new to me. And I guess it was like I saw it when I was 18 or 19. So it was maybe a few years ahead of the characters in the movie, but it felt like the whole aesthetic of it, like the mini skirts and the, like that style felt, it was really fun to see that on screen, because the other high school movies that I had seen were like Can't Hardly Wait and Bring It On and some others. But there was something about Mean Girls that I was like, whoa, this is like, now I can appreciate that Bring It On was this as well, but it's a hard hitting comedy. It's like a comedy comedy, you know? Yeah. And so I I've seen it so many times since then. So that
was like my first impression of it. It was iconic.
Right.
I mean, I feel like it changed the entire landscape of that era. Like that.
Yeah.
It just became like a immediate force of nature.
Oh my gosh, totally.
Just quotes and inside jokes in, like, you know, words like lingo that just started like filtering into, I mean, it's just everything. It became everything.
Totally. I even think that scene where Janice, where they're like telling her about the map of the cafeteria, mm-hmm. and they like the camera swoops in and you get like mm-hmm. a cool, it's like it had such action to it. Yeah. But it was so informative in a way. It was like really impressionable. Yeah.
Well, and even now, I mean, if you say like it's what, 18 years later. And if you tell someone like you go Glen Coco, like that's
totally
that's still a thing. Like you can still say that.
Yeah.
None for Gretchen Wieners. Literally everything about like everything's so quotable.
And none for Gretchen Wieners. Bye.
None for Gretchen Wieners. Bye.
I also feel like it doesn't waste a minute. Like there are some movies where like there's parts of it that you're like, eh, but like every single minute of Mean Girls is like needs to be there.
Yeah.
Like it's perfectly formulaically created.
Yes. Yeah. They don't waste any space. That's totally true. No. Yeah.
What was your experience, Ellie? Because I feel like we'll go from, because Mary, you're maybe like a year or two older than I am, I think. Ellie, you'll be the youngest. So what was your, because you were a little younger when it came out, right?
I guess, yeah. I'm like, I don't remember how old I was, but I must have been, I think I was 12.
2004.
Wow. Oh my gosh.
Yep. But I did see it the second that it came out. I find this film, okay, so first of all, yes, like iconic. I find this film very fascinating because what it's trying to do, I think, is like show you what like bullying really is like in high school.
Right.
Right. Like, whereas like before you had these high school bullies who were like, I'm going to stick your head in the locker and whatever. But like, actually, yeah, girls bully very differently.
Oh, that's right. Great. Yeah, totally.
And
yeah,
so it was like this sort of like anti-bullying piece. But also as a 12-year-old, I wanted to be the Plastics. So you also have this like juxtaposition that I actually have still seen. This is sort of a tangent, but Mean Girls the Musical came out, I don't know, a few years ago. I teach voice lessons to like 10-year-olds, 12-year-olds, girls. Okay.
Wow.
And in this time, they love Mean Girls. They still want to be Regina George.
Wow.
Like one Incredible. Of these girls was like 11 years old and she wanted to sing this song. And there's a song in Mean Girls where they literally sing Regina is a fugly cow. Like over, over and over.
Christ.
Over
oh
and over.
My God.
And she was like, I love that song. Right. So like it also fascinates me from like a, I don't know, anthropological standpoint in a way where you're like, this is supposed to be an indictment of the Plastics, but yeah, people still want to be Regina.
Well, yeah, they, yeah, they like still have status and power. And I mean, it's that thing of like when they try to sabotage her by cutting the like little, the,
yes, the, like, and the everyone's boobs. Like, yeah, let's, I'll do it.
Yeah,
too.
It's yeah, so powerful. Regina's so powerful.
Yeah. And that's like the epitome, I think, of like female power for a teenager.
Right.
Right.
Oh where my God.
Like,
yes.
This is the way to get power because like we are not men, but yeah, like then you're like, but Regina has more power than all of the boys in the school.
Yeah. She has power over them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think you're right, Ellie. It is, it's like, I still think this is the top film in terms of film portrayal of high school, like girl bullying relationships, you know, because we did, so last season we did a Should Have Been Gay on You Again,
mm-hmm,
which is came out a little later, like sort of maybe end of the aughts or something,
yeah,
but starring some names that you probably know and love, like Kristen Bell's in it, and
oh sure,
it. But it also kind of it focuses, it's like the central theme has a lot to do with, you know, like kind of high school bullying relationships. But that one we were like, I don't think you get how girls work. Like,
yeah, right.
I don't think you understand, yeah, that like, it's not like not girls are not the people who
mean
are
girls
like
is so
pushing each other into lockers and stuff, right? Like they're feeding each other Caltine bars. That's it. Like that's, they're spreading crazy rumors and they're writing mm-hmm, mean, nasty things in a book about each other. Like that's what they're doing.
Yes.
It's that.
I remember, oh my gosh, I remember, this was in elementary school, it wasn't in high school, but same idea. I had one of my close friends made a list of people she liked and people she didn't like. She like, oh, she was God, like during class one day, like made a list.
Oh, and it was like on the list. Were you on the list of people she liked?
I honestly can't remember. there's a chance I got moved.
I feel
from
like
one
you must have been,
because
if you hadn't been on the list, I think you'd remember. So.
Well, maybe.
Also, yeah, for yeah, me, it was like, we had MySpace when,
oh, of
like,
course,
you could, oh, God,
you could put people,
yeah,
on MySpace.
Your top eight.
Ooh. And then there would be points where, like, you'd be like, I want to tell this person that I don't like them anymore. And you move them from, like, one to two. Oh, I have a new best friend. And you're doing it, like, on MySpace.
Harsh. So like, harsh.
Everyone can see it. I'm also curious. Well, Lee, what was your experience? But before, did anyone learn the Jingle Bell Rock dance?
Oh, God.
No,
my experience did not
learning
include
it,
learning the Jingle Bell Rock.
Oh,
dance.
I definitely learned it, like, back to front, me and my sister. But I, like, I'm like, should I? No, I don't think I remember it now. But the thigh slap gets me every time. Like,
it's so looking, loud.
You'll be looking away, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, the slap has come. Like,
here's where I can't tell, Ellie, if this is going to be the like the slight age gap where, because I graduated high school in 2004. So this came out kind of at like peak, like somewhere right between like high school, college.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I don't know if this is down to like, I was just old enough to like feel self-conscious to do the Jingle Bell Rock dance, or just that like you have that level of confidence over me? Could be both. Probably both.
I think I'm just like that kind of annoying person who does those things. So like more than that.
I learned the dance from She's All That. I remember there was the dance like at the party that they're all choreographed. For some reason.
I think
reason.
You still know it. You should do it.
Right? Yeah. Right about
get
now.
A little bit.
Get my bun in there.
Yes. There's also, has anyone ever seen the movie Not Another Teen Movie?
Yes.
It's like a spoof on teen movies. Right. Yeah. And they have a dance in that one that I definitely know too, the prom one. But there's a guy who's like, it's crazy how everyone at this school just like somehow is a professional dancer.
Here's what would have been the difference between you and I, Ellie, I think, is like you would learn the Jingle Bell Rock dance. I would have been more likely to learn the Kevin G rap. That's where I would have.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. That rap is so funny.
It's just, it stands up, you know, listen. Like,
so you do know it. Stand. Is that what you're saying? More likely to you do know it or...
I know the G is silent when a sneak in.
That's right.
Something, right? And they love
maybe a woman on the bathroom floor.
There we go.
We've got it. Yeah, so I don't know. That's my experience. I feel like we've talked about it enough. It came out at like perfect time to just sort of like dominate every cultural reference for
ever.
The next 20 years
still,
of my life.
Still. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I am who I am today because of Mean Girls.
I mean, that's like not wrong though. But let's talk a little bit about how gay it was, because why we are truly
that's
here.
Right. That's why we're here.
Yes. So okay. Mary, on your most recent rewatch,
yeah,
what were the things that stood out to you the most?
As for how like, much like how, or how little gay
who
it is.
Should have been gay?
Oh, who should have been gay?
What should have been gay?
Oh my gosh.
What was gay about this movie?
Yeah.
We'll let you do the honors because I wouldn't know how to start. Where do you start?
I mean, I agree with the statement that was said at the beginning, which is like really every character in this movie could have been, should have been gay.
It was a little bit.
I think there was something interesting happening amongst the plastics. I think there was a dynamic between the three of them that I would be curious to explore. Were the three of them all gay? And like, that's their friendship together had that in common. I do think when I was writing my synopsis, I was debating, I was like, now should Katie and Regina get together? I don't know. Mm-hmm. But that was something I was thinking about, because some of the message that I love about this movie is that it's like, oh, be yourself. Don't try to be like somebody else, be yourself. And I loved that. And I thought I could really see something happening where Katie is herself and she not only attracts Regina to her, but also inspires Regina to embrace who she is as well and be herself. And so that made a lot of sense to me. I think Miss Norberry.
Oh, yes.
He should have been gay.
So the vest. The vest.
Come on.
Was wearing.
How many rainbows were on that vest? A lot.
A lot.
A lot of rainbows.
A lot.
I agree, though, that like every character should have been gay. So yeah. Let's break it down.
Great.
By character.
Who are we starting with?
That's going to have to be the way that we do it. I would really like to start with the most obvious one, which is, and you might not even know what I'm going to say because all of them seem obvious.
I'm waiting at bated breath to you.
I would like to start with Janice.
Sure.
Wow. Okay. Let's do
because,
it.
Let's start with Janice.
Okay. So I was actually thinking about this and I was like, you know what I would love is if everyone in this movie was gay except Janice and you like turn the thing on its head and you're like, oh, she seems like a lesbian, but she really loves men. Like, but
right.
She seems like for the purpose of this episode, she seems very much like a lesbian. Her whole thing is that Regina basically uninvited her to a pool party.
Right.
Because she thought she was a lesbian and she didn't want her to see other girls in bathing suits at her pool party, which also.
And she's real upset about it.
She's so upset about it that it's something that happened between the two of them that like when did she say that happened? Like in eighth grade or something like that? And so it's been with 3 or 4 years, and it's still such a wedge between them.
It also, this happened. Like, every time it gets brought up, she like screams at Damien.
She is really upset.
Yeah.
Do you have? Did you write some of them down, Nelly? Because I have some of the quotes.
Right. Okay, read the quotes, please.
Some of the Janice Regina George quotes, like Regina George is not sweet. Regina George, she's a scum sucking road whore. or what's her other one? She's a life ruiner. She ruins people's lives. It's like we're holding on to some things, Janice. Like we've covered a lot of friend breakups. That's a friend breakup. Like that's, you got dumped, Janice, and you're not over it.
Yeah. I also feel like Regina is like thinks everyone is in love with her, but I also do feel like if we read it in this way, maybe Janice actually was in love with her. They had a moment. I think this also means Regina is gay.
Yeah.
Because like I feel like Regina has like submerged her sexuality so much, and Janice was like, oh, like my friend Regina is pretty cute and like let's cuddle and watch movies and like maybe we accidentally kissed one night. And then after that, Regina was like, bye. And Janice was like,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, I 1000% could see that being the backstory there. Yes, because it is. How upset Janice gets whenever that gets brought up, it feels like something deeper than just, oh, someone, you know, said this thing, you know, spread this thing about me that isn't true or whatever. Yeah. It feels like it's much more tied to her identity, I think, than she's letting on.
I just feel like if you actually were not a lesbian and everyone spread a rumor about you that you're a lesbian, you'd be like, whatever.
Right.
But like if you are a closeted lesbian and somebody spreads that rumor about you, like that's going to mess you up.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So.
Well, and especially like think about how she responds to the rumor, right? Like she never wants Damien to say it out loud. Like every time Damien gets close to kind of like spilling the dirt, she's like, shut up, Damien. Like it's, she's scared. Like she's still closeted and she doesn't want it out there. It's not like she's like, oh my God, Regina George spread this ridiculous rumor that I was gay and like, what a bitch. She's like, no, like Regina ruined my life. Don't tell anyone how. And like, you just feel for her.
Yeah, I really do feel for Janice because I am like, this is a closeted lesbian.
Yeah.
Yes. Plus, Janice can be our first instance, which is going to come up a lot in this episode, I think. But like we've talked in the past on the show, Mary, about gay magnetism, which is like how, you know, like even before you know, like gay people just tend to sort of like converge in adolescence, like or childhood.
Yes,
like
you just find each other.
You just sort of, you know, you come out in like high school, college, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh wow, every single person I was best friends with from age 13 to 20, like also is gay. Who knew? Janice and Damien are like clear gay magnetism, right?
Right.
Like, she's like, hey, here's the other gay in school. Let's team up. Here we are. We're both gonna wear bomb suits to prom, like great.
Love it.
Great.
Yeah.
Just totally just straight things, like relatable straight culture right there, I think, right?
Well, that's why I feel like I agree. And I think Katie is an example of gay magnetism too.
Yeah.
Because why would these two gay people at school are like, oh, new girl, you're also gay. Come here. Like that's clearly what it is. Also, I think in the musical, sorry to keep bringing it up, but because the musical came out more recently, they did change some things.
Oh, they did. And, okay. And yeah, I'm curious about that.
Janice is actually an out lesbian. Oh, in the musical.
Well, there you go.
So
no, it is
there.
No and surprise.
She has this bomb song. It's called Rather Be Me. And I feel like it like gives her more agency.
Good.
Like it's a coming out anthem where she's just like, I'd rather be myself than like care about anyone else's opinions of me.
Yeah.
Yes, Janice.
I love that. Oh, good. Oh, I'm happy for Janice.
Yeah. So I'm happy for her there too.
Justice for Janice.
Justice for Janice.
Well, and then also she falls in love with Regina, but I also feel like she falls in love with Katie.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes. Oh, yes. Totally. I think Regina is an old flame. Regina's like, who was in front of her before and who like she has like that friendship that has been nourished from youth and it's like a long relationship. And And now Katie's here, and Katie is so much more on the level with Janice. Like they have the same values. It feels like they have similar humor. So yeah, it totally makes sense to me that they would get together. I mean, that is, why did we not have that?
Plus, I mean, can you blame Janice? Like, Katie shows up to her first day of, like, American high school. No, flannel's the second day. Day one, she has that jacket. She's just got the, like, very gay jacket. Like, I mean, come on. Like, the mid-aughts, you know, every lesbian had that jacket at some point. And so she wears that jacket day one. Day two, same jacket, adds a flannel, and then skips class to go hang out back with the gays. And you're like, Katie, good job. You've done great.
Katie.
So who could hold it against Janice for being like, ah, look, an obvious other gay here for me?
I'm also so interested in diving into the fact that Katie was homeschooled her entire life. And then she just gets really thrown into the deep end by like suddenly having to go to high school with a bunch of people she doesn't know. I don't know how she didn't just stay in that toilet stall 24 hours a day. I can't imagine. It's a whole ecosystem that you're like suddenly a part of. So that's such an interesting part of it too.
And you know what's so funny about you saying that too is like, so I grew up in France. We moved back when I was in fifth grade to the U.S. Even having not been homeschooled, like I went to school when I was there, but like I still like vividly remember like coming into like U.S. public school fifth grade, and you're just like, you feel like a zoo exhibit, you know? You're just like, you're the new kid. Like, everything, you don't really know what's going on. You don't have any of the, like, landscape. You don't know who anyone is. They all have these relationships that have been in existence for years, and they've all grown up together. And, like, you know, and I still remember that. And I can't imagine doing it like in high school. I mean, God,
I know.
Help you.
God help you.
Jesus.
Like, well, also, yeah, I feel like American high school dynamics are intense.
Yeah.
Are intense. Sorry, my dog. Rambo, don't.
Rambo's like, tell me about it.
Yeah. He's like, I hated high school.
High school was tough.
Girls were bitches to me. But
Okay. I heard it. That was good.
So I also wanted to talk a little bit about Katie and her like dating history. In quotes. Because she's been homeschooled and she's supposed to be what, 17 years old?
Yeah.
18. And she says she's only ever had a crush on one boy.
When she was five.
When she was five, right?
Yeah. Ringing some bells there, Ellie.
Does that ring some bells? Yeah.
I'm like, sound familiar?
Yeah.
Like, one? Like, I know you don't have to be that boy crazy, but like, if you were straight, you probably would have like one or two more boys you've had a crush on.
I also got to say, the chemistry between Aaron Samuels and these two women was nada.
No.
Non-existent.
They had so much more chemistry with each other. You know what I mean? Like, and Janice and Katie had so much more chemistry with each other. Like, it really felt like Aaron Samuels was a plot device, and nothing more.
Okay, yeah. Wait, can I? Nothing because, I mean, A, yes. And, like, we talk about this all the time in Should Have Been Gays, that, like, why do they write these, like, tepid, just white bread romances in that you are supposed to believe when like everything interesting is happening between the girls in the movie?
Absolutely.
But the other thing that I learned today, and not even on purpose, I just happened to scroll past something on Twitter that I was like, how timely and perfect to learn this fact. Did you know all of the men, like every main male character in this movie, the actors are gay? So Damien, the actor who plays Damien, is gay.
Right.
The actor who plays Aaron Samuels is gay.
Really?
The actor who plays Kevin G is gay. They're all gay.
Wow.
Everyone in this movie is gay, is what I'm saying.
I did know Damien and Aaron Samuels. I did not know Kevin G.
I didn't know Aaron Samuels. Like, that has
So no wonder, no chemistry there.
Yeah, I mean, God, well, what I would have loved to, have seen a love story between Aaron Samuels and Kevin Napoor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
wouldn't that have been so fun?
Aaron and Damien dancing together.
Aaron and Damien. That would have been so great.
Yeah, even Damien and Kevin G instead of Janice and Kevin G.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, that also, the whole thing with Janice and Kevin is so like kludged in. You're just like,
I know, really? I know. Like, I know.
Really? Okay, wait, sorry, because I have one other, I have one really important comment on that, which is just when they do that kludged in thing, and the only thing she really says to him, because he has this kind of like throwaway thing of like, I only date women of color, right? The only thing that she says to him really is that she's Lebanese, which
right.
Like, I feel like I would be remiss to not mention how Lebanese, thanks to Glee, became synonymous with being a lesbian. Like, it became the stand-in word for lesbian.
Did it really?
Of course you are. Of course you are. And I think that happened before this came out, right? Like, did that?
Wow.
I'd have to go on a deep dive.
I don't know if they did that on purpose, but like,
oh, I'm sure they absolutely did not. But still, I feel like it was like in the vernacular at the time, right? Like, I don't think that it was something that it didn't happen like a decade later. It was pretty concurrent. So I just like, everywhere you look.
I know. It's all over the place.
Let's talk a little bit more about, since we're on Katie, let's talk with about
what do you
Katie.
Got?
So we've talked about Katie and Janice. I feel like we have to talk about the main love story between Katie and Regina.
Yes.
I mean, I think you were talking about this before, Mary. Like, there's this, right? Like, you're saying, be yourself. But she tries so hard to be Regina.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's that thing of, like, do I want to be her or do I want to be with her?
Yeah.
That age-old conundrum.
Yes.
It's really hard to tell the difference.
Right. Do I want to look like her? Because I find her attractive. So is it that I want to be attractive like her, or am I attracted to her?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Katie doesn't know for sure. She's on.
No, maybe a little bit of both. Maybe a little bit of both, quite frankly. Yeah. I mean, oh my gosh.
I also feel like, okay, so we start their whole trajectory, right? Basically with Katie being like, who is that? Right, like she sees Regina. And
oh,
like,
it's slow motion. Mm-hmm. Oh, mm-hmm. And she's so stunning.
She's, I think, like on men's shoulders.
Yes, they're carrying her to the athletic field for some reason for PE class.
Oh my God! And then too, like the fact that I think the attraction is mutual because Regina, they don't invite people to sit with the plastics.
No, she clocked her. She was like, who is that?
Right?
Yeah.
And she had her sit down and she tells her she's pretty.
Oh my gosh. But you're like,
really
in like
pretty. A backhanded way, but yeah.
So you agree. Like, you think you're pretty.
So you agree. You think you're pretty. I don't.
Yeah. That whole interaction is just like, Katie's so off put by it because she's just like, this beautiful woman is talking to me.
Okay.
What do I do?
Mm-hmm. Listen. In her defense, Ellie, Katie's had a hell of a first week at school, right? Like, she shows up, she's in her gay jacket, the gays want to be friends with her, she goes to her first class, her teacher immediately strips her top off in
God,
front of
Miss
her.
Oh my God, Miss Norbury's like, stripping.
She's
Miss Norbury.
She's had a hell of an introduction here, and then, like, this hot girl's just like, come sit with me, you're so pretty, oh my God. Like, it's a lot. It's a lot
to take in, yeah.
I just had this thought of, like, oh my God, like, if you set all of this to, like, different music, it's like the beginning of a porn. I'm like, her teacher's topless.
Yes, her teacher's topless.
Yeah, there's a lot going on, okay?
Oh my God, Miss Norbury. That killed me.
Listen, she's trying to pretend she has a crush on a boy, and she's like, he only likes me if I'm stupid. This is all very complicated. It's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot for her. It's a lot.
Yeah.
But then I do feel like there's this trajectory where she starts like, okay, I guess I'm going to join the plastics because my lesbian girlfriend told me to. But then there is a point where I really think she starts to fall in love with Regina George.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
She can't stop talking about her, right? There's that whole where she's like, cannot stop talking about her.
She's obsessed. And I think, listen, I'm going to hold on to it for a bit because even more than Katie starts falling in love with Regina, Regina starts falling in love with Katie is my main thesis here. But she's obsessed. Like, she can't talk about anything else. It's driving Janice is like so jealous because she's like, please stop talking about Regina. Like, Regina already broke up with me. What is going on?
I think there's also they gave her like a makeover. They like, you know, like, I think Regina was kind of fawning all over Katie at one point. And I think that was a really, what a powerful force for, mm-hmm. you know, Katie to encounter with someone she thinks is so beautiful.
Also, like, what do we think is like the actual scene where they fall in love? What's the turning point?
Oh, that's such a good question.
Because like for obviously both of them,
I don't think it's the same time.
Obviously,
I don't think it's
there's
the same
a first
preach.
Attraction. But like what's the point where, yeah.
I think Regina falls for Katie when she sits down at that lunch table and she tries to like do her normal tricks where she like gains status in a relationship and Katie's not responding to it. Katie's not like biting.
Yeah.
Okay, so she's counterpoint. Like, counterpoint. I think... Or maybe, okay, I'll give you that's when she falls for her. I think she realizes it at the party when she sees Aaron talking to Katie. Right? Because there's a stark turning point for me with Regina when she immediately is like, what? Aaron is into Katie? Like, I'm gonna get back with Aaron. Like, she is not here for it. And she has no interest in Aaron Samuels whatsoever.
No,
like,
no,
she's
no.
cheating on him the whole time. It is not about Aaron. So what's it about? What's it about?
So what is it about?
It's about Katie. That's all I'm saying. That's my, listen, welcome to my TED Talk.
And I want to like always bring it back to Jingle Bell Rock, but.
Oh, that's a good one though.
I think it's the moment where Katie starts to sing. In Jingle
oh,
Bell Rock.
Of course. Because she saved the performance and she has this beautiful singing voice. Of course. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the moment Regina's like, damn,
this girl.
Like before, I feel like she put Katie under her.
Right. I love that.
But also.
How do you top lesbians, Ellie?
Yeah. Also, I feel like that's the moment where she's like, oh, this girl could like be my equal.
Yeah.
Or maybe like, I don't think Regina ever thinks anyone's her equal, but you know what I mean? Closer. Closer.
Yep.
That's such a good moment too. I love.
Do you like science fiction? I'm Carrie Bechet, and if you loved movies like Arrival or Interstellar, then you're going to want to check out my podcast, Hypothetical. On Hypothetical, we tell speculative sci-fi stories interwoven with real science. New episodes every Tuesday, available wherever you get podcasts.
That.
Well, because that's also the moment that like Gretchen's like, fuck.
Like, oh, Gretchen.
Yes, and Gretchen losing her status in this group and the way she responds to that. I mean, oh my goodness. She really doesn't take well to it, does she? I feel like Gretchen, I could see a world where Gretchen is in love with Regina. I see where all these girls are in love with Regina.
Okay, wait. Before, we need to do, can we do Regina before we move to Gretchen?
Oh, of course.
I 100% also have a lot of Gretchen thoughts because Gretchen... is not less gay than Regina in my mind.
Right.
Oh, she's madly in love with Regina.
But, right.
Yes. But while we're talking about Regina. Oh, no, wait. Sorry. I have one last Katie Heron.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm all over the place. I took too many notes on this. My last Katie note is I feel like, because, you know, you said, Mary, this movie is about like being yourself and being true to who you are.
Right.
And I just think that it's really nice that when they do the whole scene at the end with like how popular Katie has gotten, that the same girl, like the Regina George punch me in the face girl, whatever. I just love that they come back around to the quote of, I saw Katie Heron wearing army pants and flip-flops, so I bought army pants and flip-flops. And I'm like, stay true to your gay roots, Katie. It's yes. not all mini skirts and makeup, you know? Like, it's just... We're still breaking out the gay when we
can. I'm sorry. Also, there's another Katie... there's another point for Katie, which is the Halloween party.
Oh, yeah.
She dresses as a witch.
She dresses as an ex-wife.
Like... Every other girl's like, I'm dressing for the boys.
And yes. Katie's like, let me be as ugly as possible.
Let me be as scary. It's Halloween. Yes. Yes. Let me be freaky scary.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, she takes Halloween seriously. And we also know that, like, Halloween is the gayest of holidays.
It's gay Christmas.
Oh, I love
it. It's our high holy day.
Oh, yeah. I love it.
It's ours.
So that
she goes
that
so hard. Me. She goes so hard on that costume. Yeah. I mean, it's intense. Yes. Two important Katie points that we should not forget.
Huge Katie point. Now,
all Regina.
Right, Regina.
So, Regina, so same thing at that party, right? Because a lot of my notes on Regina revolve around Regina and her reaction to Katie having a crush on Aaron Samuels and how immediately she is like, I need Aaron back. Like, oh, Katie's so obsessed with you. Like, she's so weird, right? And also notice how all of the stuff that she is saying is like Katie's not obsessed with Aaron. She's obsessed with Regina. And Regina, like, uses that to, like, project it onto Aaron to, like, take away the thing that she thinks Katie wants, you know, in this weird way. And then cheats on him the whole time. And also, like, has no interest in him. Like, she turns away from, like, kissing him at one point because she's like, oh, lip gloss. Like, I don't want to kiss you, right? She, like, turns her face away.
Right.
And you're just like, is happening here? Like, what? It's... fascinating. It's fascinating to watch. I find Regina George, this rewatch through, I was just like so sucked in by like, what is going on here? Like, what is happening? She's crazy. She's crazy.
I really understand your thesis and I support it. And I think that's true that, that Regina, Aaron Samuels was nothing to Regina, of course. Well, we know that she used him. I do see your point that like knowing she was in love with Katie came out and how possessive she became of Aaron Samuels. I really think that Regina's love of Katie, it sort of grew. The less she was able to control Katie, the more she fell in love with her.
Ooh, and that's a good log line. I like that.
That's how I sort of perceived their relationship growing. And that's what was creating such anger for Regina. It was not about the boys. It wasn't about the Calteen bar. It wasn't about any, it was like, wait a minute, this girl's getting under my skin. Like she's like, I can't stop thinking about her. I can't, you know, I'm obsessed with her and that never happens. People are obsessed with me.
Yeah. Yes. Exhibit A of like, I'm obsessed with this girl and that this is like weird and I don't know how to handle this is the first scene where she calls to ask about, Aaron Samuels. She like calls Katie up on the phone and she's just like casually like lying around in her room in lingerie. And I'm just like, is that, is that like a normal thing that you
Well,
do?
I wore lingerie all the time in high school. And I knew what lingerie was.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like to me, it just feels like such a Regina George move to be like, this girl is throwing me off somehow. So I need to feel like extra powerful. This is like,
this is
Regina George's version of like doing like power poses.
Yes.
Know? And she's like, I'm going to feel like a hot bitch in my lingerie so that like when I call you up to ask if you're into my ex-boyfriend, like, it doesn't like completely throw me, right? She's like, this is how I'm going to prepare for this because otherwise it's weird. It's weird.
I think, yeah, like Regina, everything she does is calculated. So like she would just be very calculated and like, what am I wearing for this phone call?
lingerie, my hottest lingerie.
My hottest like, lingerie. Yeah,
like, I just want Katie to ask me what I'm wearing so I can tell her.
Yeah. And even if she yes. doesn't, even if it oh doesn't God. Come up, I feel like she'll be able to sense it just from my yeah. voice. She'll be able to see it.
I am now like headcanoning for myself, Ellie, just this endless like montage sequence of like phone calls with Regina constantly in lingerie, just being like, today she'll ask. Like, today's the day. She's going to ask what I'm wearing.
La Perla. She's got to ask today.
She'll be like, she'll ask me to go somewhere and I'll be like, oh, I'm not even dressed. Like, yeah, she's oh, waiting really? For it.
Yeah. Okay, we'll get dressed. God damn it.
She's so like, close. I never can predict what she's going to say. I do think you're right, though. Like, she can't control her and it gets to her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She, like, is so unpredictable to Regina because she's not socialized. Like, she's been homeschooled. So, yes. right, every other girl has been socialized in this way that, like, Regina knows exactly what to say to them.
Yes.
Because they've, like, been socialized in this high school way. But yeah, you cannot. She can't get to her. She gets to her. She literally, like, quote
she
unquote,
does.
Ruins her life. But, like, does she really?
She's a life ruiner.
Also, Regina ends up being on the field hockey team at the end of the movie.
Listen, okay.
And a hold pile on, of hold girls. In a
literally, when we get that to the part. Ending of all of these characters, Regina George's, like, best scenario ending is a pile of girls on top of her. Stop no. it, mean girls. You're
come
telling
on,
yourself.
We know. Like, you're
Regina
telling on
George's
yourself.
George's ending is so gay.
It's a lot.
So gay.
It's a lot.
It's, like, it is, okay, so there's a point where she, like, they all are, like, sitting, right, together.
Mm-hmm.
Does Regina George, does she sit with them, or she walks by?
No, she walks by. She walks by with the other girls.
Okay, but with all the
walks
girls.
Walks by with her girlfriend.
With all the
we're
girls.
Kidding. Come on.
Yeah, right? Like,
walks by with Dawn, I think, was that Dawn? That character's
maybe.
Name?
Yeah.
I could be wrong about that.
Although you're saying that, and I know it's not, and my head immediately was like, Dawn Denbo and her lover, Regina. What? No. Stop it.
Oh, God.
Who said
but
that?
But it is true. Like, she's not with a man. She is no. with all of her women from the
yes.
field hockey team. And that's
their lacrosse team.
That's her happy ending.
Oh, lacrosse. Yes. Thank you. Thank you.
Either way, it's, like, very aggressive, very gay.
Super gay.
Yeah.
Well, and okay, listen, can we, so that's Regina George's future. I feel like it's impossible to understand Regina George's very, very strong homosexuality without digging a little bit more into Regina George's past.
Like,
we touched on it with Janice, right? That obviously there's some history between Regina and Janice where they, you know, had that, like, the dating before you know you're dating, like, you haven't quite both come out and come to terms with your sexuality yet, and you have this, like, intense friendship that then went wrong. But I also feel like you have to look at Regina then projecting, like, immediately throwing Janice under the bus, right? With being like, Janice, Ian, what a dyke. Like, definitely not me, because, like, I cut ties and, like, pushed that all away from myself as forcefully as I possibly could. But then I also think it's like looking at the way that Regina clearly has, like, how she has internalized some of her own, like, homophobia. When they have the scene where they're all, like, the plastics all line up in front of the mirror and they're all, like, saying the things that they hate about themselves,
yeah.
right? Do you remember what Regina's is?
Yes, because she felt like, she was like, at least you can wear halters. I've got, yeah. like,
man shoulders.
Right.
Yeah.
Right? Like, she's so clearly, like, picks one thing about herself that she's like, oh my God, like, a slightly, like, masculine thing. Like, I hate that about me. Mm. And you're like, do you though, Regina? Do you though?
or do you want,
like, a nice button down shirt to wear to, like, you know, like, that's what you're going to wear to your lacrosse, you know, world championships victory ceremony or something, like a suit. Like, you just want to wear a suit like Janice is wearing a suit, don't you? Like,
you don't want to wear a halter. Who are you kidding?
Yeah. We see right through you.
Yes.
I'm like, Regina, you've thought about what you'd look like with a tie on with those
shoes. Oh, my gosh. She would look so stunning.
I also do feel like the homophobia in this film in general.
Yeah.
Is very, like, 2004. And
oh, God, it's terrible.
Oof. It yeah. is rough. I mean, yeah. the homophobia, the, like, casual racism, the, mm-hmm. like, it's
ableism.
Really, ableism. Oh, yeah, it's all over the place. It is not a lot of jokes at a lot of people's expenses.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's so funny the amount of stuff that like state that still is kind of like go-to quotes, references, whatever, and how quickly we all just like repressed, just pushed back in the back of our minds, like the number of things where you're just like, oh, you can't say that quote out loud anymore in the year 2022.
Oh my gosh, like, yes.
It's not great. Not great.
Not great. No. There was quite a lot in my rewatch where I was like, woof.
Yeah.
It even is shocking that, I mean, I know there's so many movies from that time that are just on the rewatch or Cringe City USA. But it does feel wild to like look back at that and be like, oh my God, why didn't we like have a better sense of humor?
There just wasn't.
In general. Like it just feels like it's just the lowest hanging fruit comedy wise, and it's not funny, and it's, you know, there's so much of that in this.
Yeah. Well, and I think because they didn't stand out at the time, you know, like at the time, it's not like anybody was gonna call someone out for like half the stuff in this movie. I mean, absolutely not. And because so much of the rest of it was so funny, like,
right?
That's, you know, I mean, it is sort of like a mixed bag of like jokes that really hold up and just, yeah, kind of like cheap pot shots punching down, and you're like,
for sure.
Oh no. There is a lot of that. Yeah, there is a lot of that, because that's, I mean, the other thing, the other line, Virginia's line that also stood out to me, Ellie, in terms of like, I feel like falls along similar lines, but also, you know, kind of like ties into Regina's past and stuff, is she has this one line at one point when she's talking about Aaron Samuels, I think, and she says like, I was half a virgin when I met him.
Yes.
You know, and I'm like, while you talk about the like casual homophobia of a movie that like circa 2004, that is like exactly the kind of stuff that someone would say if they were like, I've only slept with a girl, right? Like that's how that line stood out to me, where I'm like, if somebody said that today, I wouldn't necessarily read into it like that, but like at that point in time, that's absolutely like a,
so you're saying she's half a virgin because she slept with Janice, because
she slept with Janice for sure. Like she and Janice have done stuff that she's like, I wasn't like totally a virgin, but I was like mostly a virgin, right? Like it didn't count.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Yes.
It for tracks, sure. Right? Like it totally tracks in that time.
I also feel like I'm like, I just feel like on a personal level, that type of high school relationship is like so relatable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like also I just have like a lot of friends who are like around the same age as me, who have like, most of us are out now and like had some sort of like relationship that you were like, wait, we were friends, but like that was gay.
There was something more at play there.
I literally don't, like, for me it was more like, okay, like we would watch movies and like cuddle,
yeah,
and like we would be holding hands all the time like at lunch, but I literally have a friend who's like, oh yeah, like I had sex with my friend all the time and we were like, we're straight. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
Whoa.
She's like, yeah, no. And she's like, yeah, we just would have sex all the time.
Whoa.
That's exactly how I picture Regina and Janice.
Yeah.
Like, that's exactly the friendship.
Totally.
And then just being like, yeah, but like, that's normal, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's just
right, right, right. That's
stuff.
Just normal,
normal shit. Normal, is, normal girl
yeah.
shit.
Yeah. You know, two girls, just, you know, being friends and
yeah.
Yeah, of
just
course.
Like sleeping with each other.
Totally.
Like, it's normal. Like just
fine. You're
just
yeah, you're practicing.
Yeah. Every night at a sleepover, whatever.
It's so fun and fine.
Yeah.
yeah. I really do.
Good, clean fun.
It's just good, clean
fun
for everyone. I do wish we had seen more of a, I would love to have seen more of a, like, the root of this is Janice and Regina.
Oh, yeah.
So we need to unpack that more fully. It was sort of like skipped over because the story's revolving around Katie, really, where Janice has her like revenge on Regina by exposing the whole plan and exposing Katie's part in it. But I wanted them to like have it out with each other of what has happened over the past few years. And I wanted Janice to like have that conversation with Regina. What you did hurt me so badly. it like changed how I related to people.
Okay, we all know what it's time for. Fan fiction writers somewhere out there.
I bet you there is. I bet you there
write
is.
Write me this fan fiction.
I would not be surprised if there's like a Regina and Vanna
if you know if it exists already.
Oh, nice.
Please email us, DM us. I need it.
There Send has it to, me. To be.
But it has like, to be out there. I want it.
There is a Mean Girls 2, right? I don't know what. I never
Oh, is there?
It.
I never saw
but
it.
But I'm pretty sure there's a sequel and I don't know what the point of it is. But I feel like there should have also been a prequel. That's like literally just, or like even like a short film, right? We get like a little short.
Yeah, like in front of a Pixar movie, you know, just a quick little short film.
Exactly. Exactly.
And it would like, be eligible for Oscars.
It would probably get nominated. Like
probably get nominated.
Would. Yeah. But like, it's just like catalyst to Regina being like, oh, you're a lesbian. And then like the whole pool party scene.
Yes. Right.
And like then Janice just being wrecked. And that's like, and then we go into welcome to the school, Katie.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. This is only reminding me of another Janice thing that I totally forgot to bring up as well, which is when Janice does her whole, like, I just have a big old lesbian crush on you, like flips her off, falls backwards, also into a waiting pile of girls.
Of women,
they just like piles of girls these days. That also, while she's doing that, she does like a little like Xena war cry at the time,
which
I feel like is also like a, that's like gay, you know, like dog whistles right there. Like that's gay shout outs. That's for the gays. Come on.
Totally.
Come on.
Do we feel like wrapped-ish on Regina? Because I feel like we need to talk about Gretchen.
Oh, God, yes. Please, let's talk about Gretchen.
Let's talk about Gretchen.
Oh, my God. Poor Gretchen. So I feel like, okay, this leads well into Gretchen, because I do feel like there also is this thing about Regina of like, why do you feel the need to be like surrounded by other hot girls? Because she's in love with them.
Of course.
But Gretchen is definitely like her main girl, right?
Like knows all her secrets. They've had like real conversations, because the like secrets that Gretchen reveals to Katie are like, oh, she like calls Gretchen and like cries to her about what's happening at home with her parents. Like this is a real, they have a real connection with each other.
I know. Yep. And you never get to see it. I wish we got to see more of it, you know, because like there's like a real connection that is, you only hear about it in passing once she like breaks it. You
yes.
know, like once Katie comes in and like just sledgehammers it, then you get to hear some of it.
I feel like it's also like the most like damaging evidence as to Regina being a lesbian is that like she clearly has this like secret relationship with Gretchen. Right? Like she has a relationship with Gretchen in public, which is that she's like always shitting on her, right?
Right.
But there's clearly like a private relationship between the two of them where she's basically like, yes, I'm in love with you.
Yeah, she's closer to Gretchen than Karen. I think Karen is just like, you know, along for the ride with them. But Gretchen is like her main girl.
Yeah. Well, and because some of those things too, like the way that that relationship plays out also is just so gay sometimes, right? Because like I'm picturing the scene when, so it's after Regina gets back together with Aaron and she sends Gretchen to like have this conversation to be like, Regina wants to make sure that you're not mad at her, which like, first of all, I'm like, I love how insecure Regina is. She's like, not even lingerie is going to make me prepared enough to have this conversation on my own. I have to like send Gretchen in my stead.
I need a buffer. Yeah.
A buffer. And she sends Gretchen to literally go and do like, Regina wanted me to give you this, and then hugs her, like sends Gretchen to like give Katie a hug to be like, don't hate me because I'm dating Aaron again. Like, I'm just here waiting to call you on the phone in my lingerie. Like, what? What is happening here? It's insane. And I'm like, this is like the gayest thing I've ever seen, is to like send your like also ex-girlfriend to be like, are you mad at Regina? She has this for you. Hug. And you're like, what? What's happening? Who does this? This is not a thing.
And also, like, I mean, the whole breakup between Regina and Gretchen, I think, is the crux of it, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, who has not, like, Regina's like, okay, Gretchen, you're my girl, right? And then she finds a new, shinier girl and she's like, never mind.
It's heartbreaking. So I mean, I had that growing up. I mean, I feel like, oh my God, that's like, that is what happens in friendships with girls growing up, where you're like, she was my best friend. Now this other person is her best friend. And I had that happen so many times. I got so jealous of girls who became best friends with who was supposed to be my best friend. Like at summer camp, I remember one summer, there was a girl who was really funny and God damn it. And she
can't be too funny, women.
You can't be too funny. And she became really close with who had been my best friend at summer camp every summer. And they got so close, they became best friends. And I was devastated. Mm-hmm. It was soul crushing. Yeah. It was like, it's so intense. And then I think you add in this layer of that's not just a friend, that's someone you care about and love.
Right. Like, imagine if you and your friend had also been like hooking up the whole time.
Oh my God.
Just casual straight stuff.
No, yeah. It's fun and it's fine. Yeah. Right.
would have been so much worse.
It's so much worse. Yes. It's like, it really, it's core shaking.
Yeah. I really feel so much for Gretchen.
Like, me too.
I'm very empathetic towards that poor little lesbian who's just like, but I thought you loved me.
I know.
It's so sad, actually. It's really sad. It's
also because Gretchen has what I also think is another one of those lines where I'm just like, again, in the context of like this era of time, it's just a line that like reads so gay to me now, is Gretchen being like, you might think you like someone, but you could be wrong, you know? And I'm like, can't you just picture like, I just feel like Regina is so repressed that she's like, oh my God, like Janice and I are totally having sex all the time. But like now I'm realizing that like people are going to look at us differently. So like we're going to shut it down. I'm going to like push you under the dyke bus. Like no one's ever going to know it was secretly me. And then I'm just going to like latch on to Gretchen. Right. And then every time that like Gretchen likes someone, I'm just going to be like, no, you don't. You actually don't like him. Or even worse, Gretchen being like, maybe I have a crush on her. And Regina being like, absolutely not. Like that is not acceptable in our little group, right? Like mm-hmm. shut that down. And then just like using Gretchen to like tell all of her secrets to and like form this like pseudo relationship with, and then tossing her aside to be like, please go give Katie a hug for me. And you're like,
oh, I know,
Regina, go to therapy, baby. Like,
well, Gretchen Gretchen is like the opposite of Katie. Like she mm-hmm. Gretchen like fully was like, control me, like basically yep. saying to Regina, yes, I'm here. I'm like, I will do whatever you tell me to do. I'll do like my needs don't matter in this relationship.
And it's so soul crushing because she's like, I literally did everything for you and you still don't love me. Like
I that know.
Hurts.
But that's why I love Gretchen getting angry. I love that the Caesar speech that she gives where she's like, she's standing, she's like finding her own identity and like outside of Regina, and is like, wait a minute, this is bullshit. This is insane how I've been treated.
And it yep. is, Gretchen, it is insane.
And it is.
You deserve better. There's a nice girl out there for you, Gretchen.
There is.
I know. And then too, like, I mean, it is just like, okay, now that Regina's her ex, like she also like trashes her ex so hard in a way that's just like, okay, like that, this is like way more than just a friend for you, because like you are like telling every single one of her secrets. Like,
well, and it also, the way she was kind of spiraling in her mind, that it totally feels the same as when yep. you go through a breakup and you're trying to make sense of what happened and you're in denial about the ending of the relationship. You're so hurt by it. Like it totally, yes, her mental spirals that she was going down. I was like, oh my God. Yeah. That this feels like a romantic breakup just happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and can we talk about Gretchen at the end as well? Because, okay, listen, while we're talking about how Gretchen just wants to be controlled, maybe dominated, you know, however we want to call that.
Oh, like, sure.
Sure.
Yeah.
Is Gretchen a perfect sub? Chime in soon, listeners, and let us know your thoughts. All I'm saying is, like, the end of the movie, right? Like, what does Gretchen do the second that Regina is, like, no longer in the picture? She's like, let me go find, like, two new girls to, like, throw myself under as well.
Yes.
I'll learn a whole new language for you. Sure. Whatever. Whatever you need from me.
Yeah.
That's all. I just, Gretchen, just noticing some trends. Some
Gretchen's
patterns,
like,
maybe.
Entire purpose in life is to, like, serve women.
Yes.
Like, that's all she, that's, like, what she feels like she has to do. She's like, I will give, like, and I feel like that's such a, like, lesbian thing to do, though, to, like, completely be like, I'll give you whatever you want because you're a beautiful girl.
Yeah.
Like,
take everything I have.
Yeah. And then, like, I hope she figures some shit out and, you know. She. I want her to regain her independence.
Me
she
too.
Really
I want that for her too.
Again, and you're like, Gretchen, come on.
I know.
We went through this.
I
you
want
were
that
strong
for her
and independent.
I know. Gretchen's maybe the one with the least growth by the end of the movie.
Yeah,
huh?
yeah.
Poor Gretchen.
Oh,
Lord.
But yeah, it's like that's pretty obvious that she's just madly in love with Regina, and then they went through a breakup. What about Karen? How do we feel about Karen's place
Karen.
In all of this?
You know how I mostly feel about Karen in a general sense is like, I just don't think that we, like, I feel like especially going back and watching this movie now, where like at the time, I feel like we knew so much less about the actors in this, right? I mean, like Lindsay Lohan was big.
Yeah,
and, like,
she
Rachel
was
McAdams was like kind of starting.
Was Rachel McAdams in The Notebook before this or after?
I think it was after this.
I think it was.
This was like her breakout.
They were very
breakout.
Close together, mm-hmm. but this was like one of her first biggest roles. And so it was like this sort of started.
No, she was in The Hot Chick before this, though.
Oh, she was?
Did you see The Hot Chick?
Have no.
Oh, my God. Actually, I'm a huge Rachel McAdams fan. I just think she's such
oh,
a brilliant she's actress.
Wonderful.
She
can
is.
Literally play any role. Like
she's so
in
good.
In the Hot Chick, she plays, it's like a body swap with her and Rob Snyder. So she's playing Rob
Whoa.
Snyder in Rachel McAdams' body. It's incredible. But That was when I fell in love with Rachel McAdams.
Here's my note on Karen is like, I feel like it struck me more because I was just paying so much more attention on this rewatch, right? Like, I feel like Mean Girls
yeah.
to me, it's a movie that I've seen mm-hmm. so many times that it's like, you almost don't even pay attention to it anymore. I was paying so much more attention this time. And I feel like, because this also was early in Amanda Seyfried's career.
Yeah.
That like, I don't think it stood out to me like how great she was.
Oh, she's so good.
As Karen.
she's so funny.
Fucking nails it.
Oh my
right?
God.
Like,
I know.
It's not until you see her do enough stuff afterwards that you're like, wow, like what a great performance. Like,
it's so good. I know. She really, I remember seeing it and being like, this girl's very funny. She really knows what she's doing.
No, but it doesn't jump out at you because it's so, it's like watching, you know what it is? It reminds me of like watching Manny Jacinto play Jason in The Good Place, right? Is like the difficulty actually of like convincingly playing that level of just like
oblivious
crickets in your brain.
yeah.
Actually really difficult like, to sell some
hard.
Of that dialogue that well. Is amazing. That's my first note about Karen. Also, I don't have a ton of notes about Karen being super gay. I feel like my biggest one is when they're in the meeting at the end that the principal calls them all into when they're all in the gym. And they have this question where it's like, who has a lady problem that they'd like to talk about? And like Karen raises her little hand up and then Gretchen like immediately pulls her little hand down. And I'm like, Gretchen, what do you know that you're not letting us find out about is what I want to know.
Oh.
I also feel like Karen is so oblivious that she also would be like Regina's little sex plaything and like,
oh God,
not.
Yeah.
like in the same way that Britney in Glee
is
like, oh yeah, me and Santana have sex all the time and like nothing is happening here.
it's fun and it's fine.
Yeah, she's not getting emotionally involved.
Yeah. And I think that's why Regina loves her because she's like, after I have sex
she's like
with
all
Gretchen,
girls do this
like I have to cuddle with her, I have to like give her all this attention, and like Karen's just like, that was fun, good night,
bye.
Yeah.
see you tomorrow.
Yeah. Like whenever Gretchen's getting too emotional, she's like, I'm sorry, I just need to call Karen.
And that's what she does. She's like, yep. calls Karen to go out. And mm-hmm. and she's like, Gretchen is driving me nuts right now.
Yep.
Is that why Karen gets so upset when Regina starts calling her a whore? Right? Is she's like,
that's a great point. Wow.
She's like, there are things I've only done with you, Regina. Yeah,
exactly. She's like, what do you mean you're calling me a whore? Like, you always told me that this was like normal and cool and fine. Like,
yeah. If I'm a whore, what does that make you?
Yeah, exactly.
Definitely. And I would like to say, honorable mention, that she just is obsessed with boobs.
Mm.
Dude, everyone in this movie is. It is not just Karen. Because let's be real.
Oh my god! When Katie's staring at Regina's mom with the dog.
Yeah. Wait, is it Gretchen or Karen that tells her about the mom's boob job? Is that Karen?
Oh, Gretchen tells her about
Gretchen. Yeah. I thought it was Gretchen. So Gretchen's calling out boobs. Janice has that line when she's like, "Oh, well, at least now that like Regina's gaining weight, like she's got big jugs or something, right?" Like everyone in this movie, they're like very into each other's boobs.
Yeah.
Just normal straight stuff again.
Just
normal. Yeah, it's just normal. It's just straight.
Yeah.
That's it.
I mean, that's pretty much everyone in this film.
Yeah.
That we've gone through. We talked a little bit about Miss Norberry. Do you want to like do a little like synopsis on Miss Norberry?
Come on.
Is the answer for Miss Norberry?
The answer is she's like, "Oh, hey kids, here I am in my rainbow vest with my rainbow pin on it talking about my unsuccessful marriage."
Yeah.
I mean,
the divorce was a big like thing for you. She's like, "I got divorced over the summer," and like it seems like she got it's also you don't know.
We don't know.
Say her husband.
Ever. No,
she. I think she does reference a husband at one point, but I'm pretty sure it's because she came out and like you know some. Listen, that's some people come out later in life. You know, like it happens. We know about it.
Sure.
She's learned some things about that herself. Norberry.
But yeah, that's and then I think like should we talk just like a little bit about the gym scene in general? Because I just feel like that.
Oh yeah,
scene is just a gay scene.
As opposed to all the others in this movie.
To every other scene.
Explain, Ellie. Explain.
Well, I feel like okay, we've already talked about it. Janice literally is like, "I have a big lesbian crush on you," and everyone's like, "Yeah!" Like everyone's so excited about this. That one random girl who just like wants to be there just has a lot of feelings.
Oh my gosh! Yes, so funny. I also we never like dove into it. Is that person an adult? They look like an adult.
Yeah.
They just came, which is very funny.
Yes. I mean, I think too, just like having a group therapy session with all of these women, like really is the turning point where they all feel like they can actually come out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that.
That's beautiful. You know?
So I feel like that moment with their like lesbian therapist, Miss Norberry.
Miss Norberry. Wait, sorry, while we're talking about Miss Norberry's vest, when another Karen note, when they have lunch the day that Regina wears sweatpants and she's like, well, like they're like, "You can't sit with us because you're breaking the rules." And she's like, "Well, those rules aren't real." And Karen is the one who's like, "Well, they were real that day I wore a vest."
Also, the fact that they choose that Regina's like, "You have to wear pink," I do feel like is like she is trying to be so hyper feminine.
Yes.
That like nobody can call her out and be like, "You're gay."
No.
So like she's forcing herself to be super, super like, "I'm like the hottest and the most feminine. Like you could never confuse me for a lesbian." And then when she becomes herself, she's the complete opposite of that.
So
complete
true.
Complete opposite.
So true.
Yeah. Damn. This movie's so gay.
Okay. Should we move into ships then, Ellie? Because I feel like
I think unless like
we've,
I don't know.
We've
Mary,
covered some we've of them covered already.
A lot. Is there anything else that you think like really stood out to you or that you wanted to talk about that should have been gay in this film? I mean, we've covered a lot.
No, I feel like we covered what I've been thinking about for sure.
Yeah, we really nailed it. All right,
we really nailed it.
We'll go into the ships.
Okay.
So
okay, Mary, who do you ship? Who's your ship in this movie?
Who's your favorite couple?
Okay, thank you for
yes.
Okay. I saw it in your eyes.
It's a relationship. So who do I
ship? Okay.
Like what two characters would you put in a couple?
Oh my gosh. I would put Janice and Regina.
Ooh, good one. Good one. So Janice and Regina, what would your ship name for them be?
Janina.
Nice. Wow, that was like that fast. Was fast. Quick on yeah. that. I like
that was
it.
Was very impressive.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. I like
Ellie,
it.
Who would you ship? Who's your ship?
I'm going to say Regina and Gretchen. Because I really feel for Gretchen. And I actually do feel like if Regina hadn't tossed Gretchen aside, that they actually have one of the more meaningful relationships together. And I will call them Gretchina.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Gretchina. I love
the Ina of Regina. It's really good for sure.
Yeah, it's good. It is.
But we haven't touched like any of their last names yet. And I'm like, part of me feels like Gretchen Wieners. Like,
you need to use. Yeah, you're right.
I want to do something with her last name, but I don't know what. Because Regina George doesn't give me a lot of options to play with.
No.
Gretchina and Janina. I like it. gosh. Who else, okay. Lee? So I don't know. I mean, I feel like I have to throw Regina and Katie out there.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Because, like,
that's the, yeah.
That's
have to.
The, yeah. Like, that's what you see on the poster. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So, what do we call?
Do you want to shot Regina Katie. George and Katie Heron? Right?
Katie Heron.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could go Rigidi.
Yeah, if you want to try to switch it up, Kajina. We're not using an Ina.
Kajina.
What if it's just like Katie George? She takes Regina's last name.
I love it. Katie George.
Because you know she would.
Regina yeah, they would have not bad, let anyone. They have not a lot of good ship name
Regina's
options,
not taking
huh?
anyone's last name. No.
Like suddenly Katie is falling flat compared to the Janice and Gretchen options.
I know. Well, also Katie and Janice, I really ship them together as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, Canis.
Yeah, Canis.
Yeah, Canis works better for me. And I also JD. Feel like we should honorable mention Gretchen and Karen, you know? Like
oh, sure.
They both got tossed aside by Regina. Maybe they find love in a hopeless place? I don't know.
Gretchen.
Yes. There's honestly so many couples that you could have in this.
For sure.
What about Regina and that one girl on her lacrosse team? Who we've decided is named Dawn.
Yes.
She is, but Regina and Dawn, the final.
Dawnina.
Dawnina.
Honestly, so many. So what also
the possibilities
like what about
are endless.
The plastics themselves just sounds like a ship name.
Yeah.
Like just the three of them
together. Sure. Yeah.
Like
yeah.
That's also a ship name. It's everywhere.
It's everywhere.
I mean, no matter what, like this entire film, we have gone from top to bottom. Like if anyone has anything else about Mean Girls, like I dare you to find anything
that
we did
Hit
not talk about today.
The important point, Ellie, is Mean Girls.
Should have been gay.
Should have been gay. Okay. I felt like I had to say it too.
Okay.
Yeah, you have to. You don't want to be left out. We don't leave anyone out here. You can always sit with us, Mary.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah,
we don't have a dress.
Yeah, we do not have a dress code here. I'm wearing pajama
Sometimes
pants.
It's flannels, but like we're flexible with it. Okay.
Great. Okay.
It's 9:30 p.m. for me right now, so I will be in bed after this.
I think it's time. It's time for our Q and Gay.
Q and gay. Question number one. Who is the gayest plastic? A, Katie. B, Gretchen. C, Karen. Or D, Regina?
D, Regina.
So serious. I've been watching, this is so random, but I've been watching The Weakest Link. Does anyone watch that show?
Yes.
Oh, yes. The game show? Goodbye.
Yes.
Oh, and yeah.
I just started watching the new one with Jane Lynch because, like, the older one. And it actually.
I haven't seen any.
I just love Jane Lynch as it. Like, she just, like, is shitting on everyone. But I felt like you were on The Weakest Link.
Incredible. Oh, cool.
We won't say goodbye to you. Don't worry.
Oh, please. Okay, great.
Okay. Question two, Mary. Yeah. Which Mean Girl lingo should we bring back out of A, gruel, or B, fetch?
I kind of feel like fetch is fetching.
it's time for Fetch to happen.
It feels like Fetch, it feels like it's right there. I don't know.
It's been taking a while, but like finally.
It's finally. It's no. Gretchen was ahead of her time, you know?
Yeah.
She really, in so many ways, she was plugged in. Oh my gosh. You're telling me.
Question number three. Here we go. Did you ever pretend to be dumber to get a crush to like you? A, yes, or B, no?
A, B, no. I'm naturally pretty not there, so I don't have to make it.
No.
It's
horrible.
Like, how good are you at math is the question.
Bad.
Yeah.
Bad.
Now, see, so you don't have to pretend. It's built in. It's good.
It's built in. Yeah, yeah.
I also feel like I'm just like not about that. In general, like that whole thing where like women have to be dumber for men, I think is so stupid. Ugh. Maybe it's because I'm gay, but like I'd never like bought into that.
No.
See, I'm the person who would be like, I know how I'll get my crush to like me. I'll try to tutor them. That would have been like my go-to move. Like
you were the tutor, not the tutie.
Yeah, yeah. It wouldn't have worked either.
The tutie.
<It's>
yeah.
Not till after you've had some McDonald's, you know what I mean? Then you're the tutie.
Yes.
Question four. What was your high school clique out of A, the Plastics, B, the Varsity Jocks, C, the Burnouts, or D, the Sexually Active Band Geeks?
D, the Sexually Active Band Geeks.
I don't know why I just felt like that was coming out of your mouth.
That was me. I played the flute.
You were ready. You were like prepared. You could tell. You were just waiting for it.
Oh, yeah. I was like, I know where I belonged. Oh, yeah.
All right, question number five. Who did Janice have the bigger crush on? A, Regina, or B, Katie?
B, Katie. I think.
Why I think there's no opinion. Wrong answer there.
Right. It feels like a
big old
of
lesbian
them.
Crushes.
Yeah, right. Right.
I do feel like Katie is a bigger one because it's like after she realized that she was gay.
Yes.
So it's like more like, okay, yes. This is like a real thing, not just like what's happening in my body.
Right. Regina is like a significant person to her, you know, because of what their relationship was before. But she's like grown into who she is and like has a real crush on Katie, feels like.
So true.
What a movie. What an episode. Thank you so much, Mary, for hanging out.
Thank
with
you for having me. This was so fun.
This was amazing.
What a blast.
Let our listeners know where they can find you on all the socials. Yes.
All the socials. You can follow me on Instagram at Mary Hollandaise, spelled like the sauce. And I'm in senior year on Netflix, and there's a movie called Golden Arm that's about women's arm wrestling, and that is on HBO, and that's really fun. So there's a lot of fun stuff out there.
Amazing. Incredible. Anything else coming up that we should be looking out for, or it's more like, you know, under wraps?
Under wraps at the moment.
Secrets
to look forward to. But the holiday season is upon us. And so, happiest season, I believe, will still be up there on Hulu. So check that out.
Justice for Jane.
Thank you so much, Mary. This was so fun.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. So fun.
Let me hear you say,
We love hearing from all of you, and we love continuing to build this community. So we just like to shout out some of our favorite things every week. This week, we want to shout out our listener, Sophie, who reached out to us on Instagram to say, A, how much they love the podcast, which we love you too, and B, to suggest a Should Have Been Gay, which is always my favorite thing. Because listen, yes, we still have a lengthy list of things that we could do, but it's always fun when listeners suggest things, because I have actually never heard of this movie. Was that just me?
I haven't heard of it either, okay, but like, so I'll watch it.
It's listener recommended. Thanks, Sophie. The movie is St. Trinians, and all I know about it at this point in time is that it stars Juno Temple. So like, I'm down.
You know, I feel like Juno Temple has been in more of our Should Have Been Gays than any other actress.
She's been in a lot. She's been in a lot. So we love a good Juno Temple Should Have Been Gay. Yeah. We're not going to say no. So it is on our list. Thank you. Thank you for the suggestion, Sophie.
Love it. As always, we want to thank our Lesbian Jesus patrons, Mark Foster,
Tanya Ferguson,
Jacqueline Rosenshino,
Sarah and Julia,
Alana Rosen,
Lizette Stey,
A.D. Benitez,
and Fiona W.
And our King Princess patrons, Amy and Ellen,
Julia Gonzalez,
and Leah Hendley. Thank you all so much. We could not keep making this show without you.
Remember, you can find us on all the social medias. We are on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and TikTok at Les Hangout Pod.
You can email us at leshangoutpod@gmail.com.
Or you can check out our website at leshangoutpod.com.
Whatever app you use for podcasts, make sure you subscribe so you'll be the first one to know when new episodes drop.
We're also posting videos on our YouTube channel, so make sure you subscribe at youtube.com/leshangoutpod to catch them.
Les Hangout is an independently produced show hosted by us with audio production by me. Our production assistant is Kristen Murison, and everything else under the sun by Lee Holmes Foster.
If you want to help support that little independently produced show, you can do that in a couple ways. The first one is easy and free, is leave us a rating and a review on the Apple Podcasts app. It helps new people find the show.
If you want to join our Patreon, you get access to our Patreon-only Discord chat. You get access to bonus episodes, which are just starting this season. We have one out so far, and the next one will be coming out on September 19th for The Incredibly True Adventures of Two Girls in Love. You can do that at bit.ly/lespatreon.
If you want to stock up on your Les Hangout merch, there's never a bad time of year because we've got it all. We've got tank tops. We've got t-shirts. We've got sweatshirts. We've got hoodies. We've got crew necks. We've got, I don't know, just all of the things, plus tote bags, plus pins, plus stickers. You can find all of our designs on anything your little gay heart desires at bit.ly/lesshop.
And remember, we also have a queer production company making queer podcast musicals with guaranteed happy endings that you can find everywhere at dollarbeanprod. Or at our website, dollarbeanproductions.com.
You can listen to all of the episodes of our first show, The Flame, on any podcasting app. And remember, you can also get tickets to our live show of The Flame in New York City. You can buy tickets to join us live in New York at bit.ly/theflame54. And you can join our live stream. You can buy those tickets at bit.ly/theflame54stream.
And if you want to help support us in making more musicals and help fund our trip to New York, you can join our Patreon at bit.ly/dollarbeanpatreon.
If you want to follow us individually, you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at LSH Foster.
And you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Ellie Brigida. With that, I'm Ellie.
And I'm Lee.
And let's hang out again soon.
Let's hang out.